It's Easter season, and today is Palm Sunday. This was the day of the triumphal entry when Jesus rode into the city. And if you don't know what that means, this was when Jesus went to Jerusalem. Today was the day that, if you've ever seen any of the movies, they were waving the palm branches and the city just lost their minds. I mean, they were going crazy. It was Jesus Fest. I mean, it was like the biggest fans of Jesus that day. And then, of course, just a few days later, they were trying to kill him. Isn't that just like the public? They just love you 1 minute, each of the second, next minute. We're going to be talking about that for this week and next week, this Easter season, exactly what that means. And we're going to be talking about why that is the cornerstone of our faith as Christians. And so some of this may sound elementary to you, but we're going to really try and break it down. Before I get into today's message, how many of you have noticed there's something going on here? They kind of shocked us. They didn't know. Now, the building's been sold, and Trader Joe's is coming, but we're supposed to have full unlimited access here until the end of May, and all of a sudden, Thursday, we show up here, and this is all happening out front here. So they promised me they're going to have it somewhat cleaned up by next week, so that we can have a good Easter service. But next Saturday, we're having our Easter egg extravaganza here, and it's going to be over in the side yard over there. And I said, well, you guys got a bunch of stuff over there and some big jagged pieces of metal and all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, I'd hate for somebody to sue you guys because you guys made a big mess and just left it there. What do you mean? I said, there's big jagged pieces of metal. So we'll have it cleaned up Monday. So I said, okay. So they're going to have it cleaned up for us by Monday, and we'll be able to have good, we won't have quite the obstacle course to get to parking next week when we get in here. But speaking of all that, I did sign a lease on Friday, so we finally are moving. Amen. We're going just 2.5 miles from here. We're going right back over across I-4. And if you come to Kirkman's kind of that weird exit off of Sand Lake. You go up to Carrier right there and hang a right. We'll have maps and everything, and we'll show you where it's all at. But the address is actually 3079 Grand National Drive. And so Grand National and Carrier Cross, we're right on the corner right there. We'll get you maps and all that stuff. It'll all be online here real soon. Now, when are we moving? The second or third week of May, I'm supposed to meet with them this week. They're going to paint and get a lot of stuff done for us. And then we've got to build a stage and some other things. So it really depends on how quickly we can get the work done in there. I'd love to be in there this week. But it is what it is. So we are moving again. It'll be our fourth move and our third location. Is that right? Our third move and our fourth location. That's what it is. It'll be our fourth location in these 18 months that we've been in existence. But Saddleback Church out there in California moved 17 times in the first 5 years. So, you know, don't worry. I don't plan on moving that much, but it is what it is. All right. So that's good and exciting news. It'll all be out and available to you in the email this week that we send out. All right. If you do have your Bibles, open those this morning to a real familiar Easter passage of Scripture, Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter. There's a lot of folks that are Christians that really like to, there's only other way I can say this is that they just regurgitate what they hear somebody else say. And there are Christians that believe and have confessed Jesus as Lord of their life, but they really don't understand exactly what the whole process means and really what it's all about. Well, Jesus died for our sins. Okay, well, what does that mean? And that kind of thing. And so we're going to take this week and next week, and as, like I said, Easter holiday, we're going to really try and break this down to its simplest form. All right? And the title of this little mini-series is called Paid in Full. And we chose that illustration because we think it's pretty timely. The current state of our country, and I'm not here to talk politics this morning, so I don't care what your political point of view is, and I'm sure you don't care what mine is. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about something that's very factual. The current national debt for our country right now is somewhere around 17.5. So your share of that is $55,235.98. That's if everybody paid that all at once, the national debt would be taken care of. So why don't you just go ahead and get your checkbook out and let's just... No, I'm just kidding. Here's the part that's it really kind of breaks your heart. This includes babies that are being born today. By the time, you know, you have people die and you have new babies being born, everybody, including babies being born into the world today, share that part of the debt, $55,235.98. Which means this, babies are being born into this country in the debt. And they have done nothing to rack it up. They've done nothing. They've just spent no money. They've done nothing. They've just been born. And... this is actually a very powerful illustration of the whole story and the whole cornerstone of what Christians believe. What makes us Christians? What makes what Jesus did so important? And unless you understand the full meaning of it, it's really hard to really be moved with compassion when it comes to ministering to somebody else. You're never going to achieve the fullest extent of a relationship with God the way that you should have until you understand the full gambit of what Jesus did for you, right? A slight understanding may get you in the door. A little bit of understanding may start you on the process. But until you really understand the whole picture, your relationship with God is very shallow. And even when you do understand it, there's no way you're ever going to get to the bottom of it. You're never going to get to the depths of it. But how many of you know we need to be going deeper in our relationship with God all the time? And so it's good to just touch on these basic things and really hammer those things out so that we understand why we believe what we believe and why it is such a big deal and why what we have to say does matter in the world today. All right? So you may be saying, well, how does this debt illustration, how does that help our Christian beliefs? Well, we, just like people are being born into this country right now, babies being born into this national debt, we are all born into a spiritual debt. We're all being born into a spiritual debt, and if you've been around church or anybody that goes to church in any way, shape, or form in your life, you've heard the word sin. That is your debt. That's the debt that you're born with, sin. If we go and we look in the story of creation, God went and created everything. Now, again, I'm going to go basic. I'm going to go Sunday school for a minute. Okay? Y'all want to sit on the floor? Y'all want to get down and sit on the floor? Put some of your hair in pigtails? We can do all that if you want. We're going to go Sunday school for a minute. In the story of creation, God created everything. Heavens, earth, sun, moon, stars, the cosmos. He created all the earth, the water, all the animals, the lizards, the snakes, the bugs, you know, dogs, cats. I mean, we could just keep naming them. He created everything, and then he created people. And the Bible actually uses the phrase, he looked and saw that it was good. And that word good there is not just, hey, that's okay. That word good actually means perfect. There was nothing wrong, including the people. Now, we've all been trying to strive for that from since that point. But the only perfect people ever created were Adam and Eve. They were perfect. I mean, we're talking Barbie and Ken doll, perfect. And spiritually, giants. Now, they fell, sure, we're going to get to that in a minute, but they walked and talked with God every day in the cool of the day. They come, they hung out with him so much, and if you read the story in Genesis, they hung out with him so often that they recognized the sound that he made just walking through the garden. Now, that's pretty familiar if you recognize what somebody's walks sound like. All right. Now they recognized God that way. That's the they were spiritual giants. All right. And so they had everything there. They're perfect. Everything around them is perfect. And in that, verse 26 is where we're going to pick up today. God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be." Now look at this phrase here. Like us. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about himself, his son, and the Holy Spirit, like us. What does that mean? Does that mean we're gods? No, that's not what it means. But it means we look like him. Come on, that means that we can act like him. That means that we have his characteristics. We don't have his power. He has his power, but we have access to his power. We are like him in that aspect, okay? They will reign, catch this part, they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals of the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, now I want you to underline this part if you're in your Bible, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Now, in that time, the first man, Adam and Eve, they were both created by God for a simple task. They were created to have a relationship with God. That's what God created them for. Okay, God went from having nothing to creating something in order to have a relationship with it. So not only did he create us for a relationship with us, he also created us to reign, or to basically run the show of all his creation. They were given basically an all-access pass with everything they could have wanted. Has anybody ever gotten an all-access pass before to go somewhere? I went to the Indy 500 a few years ago. And boy, I'm telling you, I was working at Rhema at the time. And if you don't know what Rhema is the school and the church that I used to preach at in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this was a company that was trying to get our shipping for overseas. And so they flew the shipping director, who was one of my best friends, up to Indy, and he said, "I get one more ticket." And so he asked, you know, some of the higher ups, and none of them could go. And he was like, "Do you want to go?" And I was like, "Free trip to the Indy 500? Are you kidding? Sure, let's go." And so they were one of the sponsors of the race and this company. And so they gave us all access passes. And that is actually where we sit. Now, that is the suites that are in turn two. And you know, there's just all these, you know, they're all there. And I turn around like this, and boom, there's George Bush Sr. I mean, he's literally in the camera, like bam, like right there. And I'm like, huh. And so I take my ticket that's around my neck and my pass, and I hand it to him, and I said, "Can I have your autograph?" And George Bush is a big guy. I was kind of shocked. I was expecting him to be, because his son's small. But Sr.'s big. I mean, he's almost as tall as I am. And you know, and so he takes it, and he's, "Where are you from?" And so he signs the ticket and hands it back to me. And And so I was going to bring it this morning. I couldn't find it. I looked all over the place for it. So we had these passes, and, you know, I shook his hand and took my picture with him, and so he walks off. And so we're walking around the passes, but there was this one place that we weren't allowed to go to. We weren't allowed to go over the wall onto the track. Our passes didn't get us there. And so even though we could go anywhere else we wanted to go, we did have one rule that we had to follow that our passes didn't do for us. And in the same way, this is the way God created Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden, said, listen, not only do you have a backstage full access pass, you are the pass. You're in charge. You run this whole show except for this one thing. One thing, okay? Don't eat of this tree. This one tree, you can't eat of that. Everything else, you can tell it to grow taller. I mean, seriously, this is the kind of stuff that Adam and Eve could do. Like, if the grass needed to be cut, there's no mowing the grass. Adam could have just looked and said, okay, I need you to shrink back down, and the grass would have went back down. This is the kind of access we're talking about. He's in charge of everything. Now, some of you are thinking, I've never heard that before. Is that the way God did it? God told the grass to grow up out of the earth? Guess what? Then he gave all the control to Adam, so Adam's got full access. Right, if he wanted a herd of buffalo to change sides of the, hey, I need you guys to move, and they would have all. I mean, he was fully in charge. Okay, all right. Here in if you flipped over to chapter 2, we would read that in verse 17, where God says, "Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat this fruit, you are sure to die." Now, I want you to notice that last word in the sentence: "You are sure to die." All right. This is the end result of sin. If you do opposite of what God says, you are sure to die. Okay. All right. Now, of the three things that God told them to do, he told them to, okay, be fruitful and multiply, basically have babies, run the show, and don't eat of this tree. Now, we're going somewhere with this. I'm just laying a foundation. They didn't do any of the three. At this stage of the game, they hadn't had any babies yet. They were waiting until they were married a little bit longer. For whatever reason. I mean, they just weren't. They had not had babies yet. Okay? They weren't ruling and reigning over the creation like they should. And they walk in and they start looking at this tree. Now, if you're there, turn over to chapter 3. Now, believe me, I know this, again, sounds basic, but we're going somewhere, okay? Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden?" And she says, "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat of it or even touch it. If you do, you'll die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. Now, at this stage of the game, we still don't have children, okay? They're listening to the snake instead of telling the snake what to do, so they're not ruling and reigning. And in result, they're now eating of the tree that they're not supposed to eat of, okay? Adam and Eve could have avoided all this trouble for all of us if they'd have just been doing what God told them to do to begin with, which would bring up a whole other series that we could preach on about purpose here. You know, you've been designed and created for a purpose, and God put you here for a reason, and some of the trouble that you're in your life right now is just simply because you're not walking in what God's created you to do. But I'm not here to talk about that, all right? That's another series, okay? All right? Now, at this time, they could have told the snake to shut up. They could have looked at the snake and said, "Stop talking, okay? You don't know what you're talking about. Leave, okay?" And here they go, and they eat the fruit. Now, at this point in time, they disobeyed God and did what we now know as the word sinned, okay? It's at this point that they created the debt of sin for all of us. Sin became a debt that was passed down to their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and 50,000 generations times whatever it is, down to us. We inherit that debt, and we're born with it. We're born with the same debt that they, even though we come out of the womb empty, we're still born in the debt of disobedience to God. All right? Now, if you have your Bibles, turn them over to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at really scriptural basis for us inheriting this sin and inheriting this debt. All right? Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Now, we're only going to read parts of these verses because we're going to get to the second part in just a minute, all right? Verse number 12, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned. Verse 14, still everyone died. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey as an explicit a commandment of God, as Adam did. Now I want you to check that out. Even though nobody else went and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was an explicit don't do this, the Bible still tells us that everybody else still, up until that moment, had sinned. All right? Verse 15. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. Verse 16, for Adam's sin led to condemnation. Verse 17, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. Verse 18, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. Verse 19, because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. Verse 21, so just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death. All of us are born saddled with the debt of sin. Now, what is the debt? That means we owe for things that we've done wrong. The price for sin. The sin is separation from God. Now this is Bible School 101 right here. All right, sin is being separated from God. It's to miss the mark. And the mark is God. That's what the word sin means, to miss the mark. All right. So we all come into this world separated from God. We have no relationship with God when we come in to this world. And we really have no way of earning a relationship with Him. Okay? The sin that we are all born with causes us to not even be able to pray a prayer that God is required to answer. There's only one prayer that God is required to answer that for people that aren't saved or aren't Christians. There's only one prayer that He's required to answer. Now, if He chooses to answer a prayer from somebody that's not a Christian, that's up to Him, and He does. There's mercy, the mercy of God that happens all the time. But there's only one prayer that He's required to answer, and we're going to get to that in just a second. All right? Now, some of you may be sitting here saying, well, I don't care about being born in debt. I didn't know I was born in debt, and I still don't know. I'm kind of doubting what you're saying. I don't know what I'm missing. Why is this so important? Well, here's why it's important. Because eventually, every debt gets settled. Doesn't matter if you know it or not. Okay? It doesn't matter if you know it or not. All right? If you inherited $10 million, and somebody told you, hey, you've inherited $10 million, well, after you get up off the floor or stop doing cartwheels or stop jumping around being happy, and you're like, yes, $10 million. And then they say, however, the estate owes $10 million. So we're taking all your $10 million away in order to settle the debts of the it's going to get, you know, you just got $10 million. You were a 10 millionaire for just a minute. You didn't know that there was debt there. And guess what? It got taken from you. You're 10 millionaire. You're now back to whatever you were before. Doesn't matter if you knew that that debt was there or not, that debt still needed to get settled. You may have a good life for what you know, all right? You may have a pretty, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I've got a pretty good life. I'm pretty good looking. I mean, I've got a lot of things going on for me. I mean, got a good job, and that might be all right. But listen, you're paying for the debt of sin out of your life, whether you realize it or not. Now, if you look at the world this way, okay? The debt that we owed of sin is where every challenge, every shortcoming, every hard time, every sickness, every disease, every stressful moment, every bad thing that you could think of comes out of that debt. So that really is what when you look at all the bad things in your life, that's all coming because of something that you owed. I mean, seriously, have anybody ever been in financial debt? It's a whole lot more than just, I'm kind of a little short-handed here. I mean, it's more than that. It causes a lot of stress, doesn't it? You know, oh, man, how are we going to do it this month? And if you're married, there's a little tension there. And, I mean, there's a lot of other things. Some people's health will fail just because they're in financial debt and they're worrying all the time. There's a lot of things tied to debt. This is what happens with the debt of sin. You are born with it, and you now start paying for it, and this is where hard times come from, because it's pulling it out of you. All right? Without a relationship with Jesus, you are left trying to pay for this debt. And this is why people are so unsatisfied. People are so curious. People are so hungry. This is why so many people are miserable. They're stressed out. They're empty. Take it any way you want. This is why people are. They're trying to pay a debt off. I mean, seriously, what is really driving people that are unsaved in the world today? Now, we can say, well, they're just determined people and they got goals in their life. Yeah, that is. But actually, that's a mask over it. There's something deeper than that that drives people. It's that spirit man trying to pay off this debt. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 said, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. The only way you can pay this debt is by accepting the fact that it's already been paid. Now, this is where some of you have been waiting on me to get to. Come on, quit painting the picture of how bad it is. You need to understand how bad it is before you can really understand how good it is. You need to understand that you are in debt, not just up to your eyeballs, or not just up to your waist. You are in debt over your head. You are in debt drowning. You are in debt, and you are owing, and you are paying. And some of you, that's why your life has been falling apart, because you're still trying to pay for something that's been given to you. We are trying to. We are doing whatever we want, producing more awful feelings in our life, trying to pay this debt off. This is why people become alcoholics, drug addicts, sex addicts, something to make our flesh feel better about ourselves for a few minutes, because we're trying to pay this off. Well, listen, the good news, when Jesus said, go and preach the good news to everybody, why is that such good news? Because the world understood at that point, they knew they were born in debt. And the good news is, Jesus paid your debt. What you were born, even though you didn't do anything to deserve it, you were born with it. You inherited it from the great, great, great times a thousand grandfather Adam and Eve. You inherited that debt. It's yours. But Jesus paid it. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 5 again. And let's look in verse 12 and let's read the whole thing. Let's read the whole thing in its context now. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not as counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not obey any explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. Verse 15, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's precious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But then this verse goes on. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners, but because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteousness. God be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were, but as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What you were born owing, he already paid. Which means you can have the answer to every challenge that came with the debt. Y'all better listen to that now. You can have the answer that came with every shortcoming because of the debt. All right? You can have the answer to every hard time that came because of the debt you owed. See, you can have the answer, not just the fact that you're going to go to heaven when you die. You can have the answer to all the hard times that came because of the debt too. Y'all not getting this. What you owed that you didn't even know that you owed has been paid for, and you don't have to keep paying for it with your own life. You can now live a life that glorifies God. This is why Christians use the phrase, I am now whole. We can say this about ourselves. You don't have to pay anything anymore. Now, I don't want anybody to walk out of here and go down the street somewhere and shoplift in a store and say, well, Pastor Brent said we didn't have to pay anything. That's not what I mean. What I mean is you don't have to die to pay for things anymore. Sickness doesn't have to kill you anymore. Poverty doesn't have to take you out anymore. Depression doesn't have to put you in the hospital and kill you anymore. Why? Because you don't have to pay for that. The bad things that come in your life, listen, the bad challenges that face you, you don't have to do something to fix it. Somebody already has. Jesus paid it so you could be what God's created you to be. He didn't create things bad. We already read that. When he created things, they were, come on now, good, perfect. Do you know that was his original design for you? Come on, somebody better catch that. That was his design for you. Now, it's impossible for us to get there except, come on now, through what Jesus did for us. All right? You don't have to pay for your debt of sin with your life. He did it, which is why these things shouldn't be the things that take your life. Okay? Spiritually, we don't have to earn our salvation, or we don't have to pay for our sins because he already did. Physically, we don't have to pay for our healing with our lives anymore because he already did. Hard times, we don't have to pay for hard times with stress and anxiety because he already did. Now listen, next week, I want to tell you something. Next week, we're going to talk about the stress that Jesus went through. And you don't have any idea. We think we do because we've all seen the movies. I've been talking to Dr. Paul. Dr. Paul is one of our physicians here. It comes to church here. I've been talking to him about the medical condition Jesus was facing in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a medical condition. When his sweat turned to blood, we're not getting into it this week, but he's been helping me to understand it a lot clearer. Stressful. All based on stress. All right? He paid for that so that we don't have to. The list goes on and on of the bad things that you're facing in your life. When Jesus gave his life, he fixed it so you don't have to give yours anymore. So how do I get that? Romans chapter 10, we're going to wrap this up. Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. Now catch this next part. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. In order to receive the debt being paid, first of all, you have to be what Christians like to call being saved. What, saved from what? Saved from hell, saved from judgment, saved from all the bad things. I need to be saved. So I have to confess Jesus is Lord of my life. Okay? The word confess means to declare it or to say that he is what he is. Now, some of you probably can, if we had to say what you are, what would you say? I mean, like, I would not have a problem saying that I'm a Trekkie, I'm a tech guy, I'm a nerd guy. Now, I know I don't dress like a nerd guy, and I don't have the tape on my glasses or anything like that, and I don't have the pocket protector, but I am. I'm very nerd. I love Star Trek. I love Star Wars. I mean, I auditioned to be Darth Vader just a few weeks ago down at Star Wars weekend. Didn't get it. That's okay. I didn't care. I just wanted to go and wear the suit. And I did. I got to spend the day in the suit. I walked around like a first grader with a big smile on my face underneath Darth Vader's helmet. I am. I confess. I admit it. I am a nerd, okay, when it comes to that kind of stuff. All right? This is the same kind of thing that we have to confess when it comes to Jesus. When you say Jesus is Lord of your life, what does that mean? He's Lord of my life. He just is. He is in charge. He is the Lord of my life. All right? I'm confessing that, okay? I am now a Christian, a follower of Christ. So if that's how we get saved, how do we enjoy the rest of it? Because, Brent, I see Christians all the time facing the same challenges that I have. True. I do face the same challenges you do. But here's the difference. I have a hope that comes in Jesus. Why? Because my debt's been paid. So I'm not paying out anymore. I have a hope that now I can have something take these things away. So now I have to go and confess him. If I'm sick, I'm not just confessing him as my Savior. Come on, I'm confessing him as my, come on, healer. All right? If I have a need in my life and I ain't got no money in the bank, now I got to start confessing him as my supplier. Okay? If I'm bound to something, now I'm going to be confessing him as my deliverer. If I'm depressed, come on, I'm start confessing him as my joy. Y'all better catch this. Y'all looking at me awful serious right now. This is good news for you. You don't have to walk out of here and let all them problems that have been bogging you down keep you down. I start confessing just like Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is also the Prince of Peace in my life, and there's no stress in my house. Come on, I don't walk around confused all the time. Why? Because Jesus is the answer. See, I'm confessing those things over my life, just like I confessed him as Lord. So then, if I confess him as Lord, and I say I'm saved, or I'm a Christian, if I've declared or confessed him as all these other things, then I have to, watch this now, I'm not just confessing him as healer, because if he's the healer, then I am healed. Come on, somebody. If he is the provider, then guess what? My needs are met. Come on, if I've confessed him as a deliverer, then guess what? I have to say, I am free. If he is the joy of my life, then guess what? I'm happy. You know, I love that song that's out right now. I'm happy. I love it. My dad downloaded it for me and sent it to me as like a little guy from the cartoon dancers. Anyway, not getting into that. All right. If I'm If I am confessing him as the peace of my life, then guess what? I am peaceful. Well, I don't feel it. Well, do you feel saved? You won't have no problem telling somebody that you're saved. Even on the days that you don't feel like it, you say, well, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Just because you don't feel like you're healed doesn't mean, come on, somebody, doesn't mean you're not healed. Just because you look at the checkbook and it shows short doesn't mean, come on, that your needs aren't met. We have to say it anyway. And this is when we watch the answers come into our life, because our debt has been paid. That's why Christians are the way we are. That's why we believe what we believe. That's why what we believe is such a big deal, because we understand that we're born into debt, but the debt has been paid, and I don't have to pay it anymore. I can walk free from all these hard times and all these hard things. Salvation, a relationship with him, brings all the other things that he is into my life. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm done. Next week, we're going to pick up here and we'll talk a little bit more about exactly what does that mean. All right. But listen, if you're here today, and again, I know we went basic, but I don't think that it's really easy to understand what Christians believe and why we believe what we believe if you don't understand how much debt you owed and that your debt has been paid. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can't walk out of here with your debt paid. You're going to walk out of here and you're going to keep paying it yourself. And the sad part about it is you don't have to. You don't have to. So if you're here today, I want to say a prayer with you, and I want you to say it with me. And I want you to receive what Jesus did into your life. I want you to receive him as the Savior, as the person that settled your debt, so that you can walk out of here with hope of all these other things falling away. I want you to say this prayer with me right now. If you need Jesus in your life, you need to have a relationship with him. I want you to say this with me. Say, Father, I come to you today a sinner, but I believe that Jesus is your son. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And I believe that he's Lord of all. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer with me, you're now forgiven of your debt. It's been paid. You need to start walking in it. Amen.